Parkour.
I love that. All right, from the truck onto the refrigerator boxes, over to the trash can,
to the dumpster, all these pallets.
Yeah, backflip. All right.
Is he dead? That's one of the best like office intros ever.
Yeah, that's pretty good. Boston parkour.
Welcome to Pods and Rec, episode 11. I'm Stephanie.
I'm Tammy.
I'm Brad.
And today we have a special guest here with us. We have
Aaron Peterson.
Aaron Peterson.
Hey, what's up? How you guys doing?
Good. Thank you so much for being on the podcast.
Yeah, no problem, man.
You're looking so good in that sweater.
Oh, you know, I try. You know.
It's kind of like, I couldn't decide at first. It was very,
It looks like a really nice sweater.
You look pretty cozy. A
little teddy bear hug.
Aww. You can always count on you to have the latest fashions in our group.
Someone's got to do it.
You're our Tom.
Aww, thank you guys. That's like the sweetest thing you've ever told me.
Tommy Timberlake.
So how's your week been going, Aaron?
Besides bowling, it's been pretty good. Yeah. I hate bowling.
Besides bowling.
What is your average?
The passion. It's just boring. It's like, oh, you're up. All right, bowl. Yay.
Wait, are you bad at it? Is that why you don't
That's
like
not
it?
The point,
are you
though.
Just a bad bowler?
It sucks. I'm bad because I don't like it.
You didn't answer somebody's question. What was your average?
Yeah, what do you usually...
What is it, like 400 or something?
What?
400, yeah.
That's more than if you got like, strikes every time.
Over the perfect amount of...
I'm pretty sure it was more like a 40, maybe, that you got.
Plus or minus a zero at the end of it? I don't know.
Did you use bumpers? That's the real question.
Ooh,
bumpers are granny balls?
Bumpers.
No.
Through the legs?
No, it's granny ball.
Uh-oh. I see that they even have like this like assisted bowler thing where you just basically set your bowling ball on this rack and roll it down the rack.
It's like a bowling ball.
A little slide.
Yeah, it's like a bowling ball slide. Like for kids, they're just like, let me go. And it's like a little toddler, like, eh.
Literally just push it.
If your newborn baby is bowling,
time.
I guess.
Yeah, strike every time.
You gotta start somewhere.
And the dad's always like, son of a bitch, this is beating me.
It's for those extreme bowlers out there.
Yeah. Yeah, but Brad's not, he doesn't really care for bowling either. Although he has he has like his own little, I don't know, what do you call it? Like his like.
Are you talking about.
You have a very specific like, bowling style.
Ball swagger?
My grandparents just love bowling, so we actually used to go bowling a lot.
Bowling aficionados.
Mm. Yeah, they are. I mean, I guess that's what you do when you get old. You just, like, start bowling and then...
That's it.
Go home and watch All the Family or something. I don't know what old people do.
I think bowling's fun, but if you go with too big of a group, it's super boring because then it takes forever. Unless you, like, split lanes, but it always seems to take forever for your turn to roll around if you have, like, more than four people on the team. So I just go and bowl by myself, and then I get to go every time. And that's... what I do in my spare time is bowl. Not really. No.
Interesting.
I was like, how do I not know this about you?
I don't even live near a bowling alley.
You're ashamed of
trivia.
I was really interested. I was holy crap, Tammy. Like, maybe I should start doing that.
Tyler told me I should get a hobby, so.
That's why you got that real strong arm.
I got one big arm and one, like, baby scrawny arm.
It really went with your Rosie the Riveter costume.
Let me get it with my good hand.
Giant arm.
That's what I do.
I really was impressed. I was like, holy shit, she's a classic bowler.
She's hit it from us forever.
I mean, if you count picking up my little bowling ball cat and carrying him around and sometimes like throwing him, then, you know, I am a
Don't tell PETA stuff like that you're bowling with your cat.
She's sweetening him up with some high fructose corn syrup.
Yep, and some other stuff.
So how was your weekend, Tammy?
It was good. My week, yeah, I guess. Very busy with work. The show that we are on, CNBC, called The Prophet. look out for the Sweet Beats Candy episode. It aired this week, and so we are sitting on like 400 shipping orders. So that was what I was doing with my entire week, was packing up candies and shipping them off to people. So I hope you like them.
Mm. Nice. Well, I do have a little bit of a story to tell from Brad and I's week, which includes Aaron. This past week, we played trivia at this place called Bento, and I do 80s.
Oh, gosh.
It's 80s, 90s, up to 2009 trivia, and it's all about, like, music, movies, and things like that. And we had, like, a beautiful game. Like, we missed one question that was worth 1 point. And when it came to the final question, where it's, you know, kind of like the... You have to wager up to 0 to 15 points. We're like, okay, we're doing really well. We've been in first place this whole time. And we're like, let's just go all in. And Aaron over here was just like, I can't take it. I can't gamble it. I don't want to do it. And we finally convinced him to wager 4 points. And we got the question right. But along with four other teams who got it right, who wagered everything. So it kicked us out of
first place.
So we ended up getting third place, and then Aaron ran away with our $10 prize.
You took the $10?
He gave it to me. It'd be rude not to take it. So
are you going to share it with everyone next time?
Oh, yeah, he's going to.
You've already used it. You went last night.
You better be there on my lunch period, I'm just saying.
Your lunch period? Were you in high school?
Lunch.
This is my lunch block.
I mean, it's good through period. I go to all the lunches.
No way you can make the bento on your lunch break, man. Yeah. I know where you work.
But it was really funny that I was shocked. We got so many questions right. We had a perfect game, and we were like in the prime spot where we didn't even have to get up and like give them the answer. They were like right behind us. We were just like, bam.
It was almost.
It was like VIP perfect status over there, and then we blew it.
We just caved under pressure.
So the final question was put these movies in order of release, which the movies were Independence Day,
Batman, Aladdin, and Titanic.
Yeah. And I'll have you know, Stephanie asked Tyler and I this last night, and we got it right.
Yep.
Bam. Okay. Damn.
Yep.
We did too.
But so, you didn't bet at all. What were you so scared of? Why didn't you bet at all?
It just seemed too easy. Yeah. I just wanted to play responsible, all right? Being just modest, conservative with it. And it's
good. Things you are not in normal daily life, except for trivia.
Man, never again.
Stick to your guns.
Listen, if it was a dance-off at the end for that tiebreaker,
still had to do a tiebreaker to stay in third place. We had to do a tiebreaker, so we're like, Aaron, you're in, because you got to screw us
up. Is it a dance-off, or movie was something it? Physical?
No, it was like, did Independence Day gross domestically?
Mm-hmm. But in the past, they've had a tiebreaker dance-off. Mm-hmm. And were you in it, or was it somebody else?
We made him do them both.
Yes.
I don't think you would have had to make him do it. I think he would willingly go up and be like, get out of my way.
I think it was more of a Carlton dance type thing.
Carlton, with a little pork at the end.
And then a side of stinky leg.
Yeah.
Where's my cardboard? I'm going to break dance.
A little stank. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So. Don't worry, I brought my own.
It looked like a soulful ballerina.
So I learned this past Thursday that Aaron's not a gambling man. Because it's free trivia. Like, we're doing pretty well. Like, we're having a good time. Let's just go all in. Although, I think if we got it wrong and we lost all those points, we would have probably been on the opposite of, like, oh, Aaron's, or, like, so-and-so's the one that made us bet everything. And, you know, all sorts of stuff. It was still, we had a lot of fun, though.
Yeah. It was pretty good. That was awesome.
Dang it, Aaron.
Yeah, we were total VIP status, just like going in there.
Did you all like have sunglasses on with your arms up in the air, like slow motion? Walking
in, like, high fiving people.
All I do is win. Next time I'm playing an intro song when we go in there.
So we're never going to find you in Vegas then? Not a gambling man?
No, I'll just go see the shows.
All right.
Blue Man Group.
I'm
going
to go see the shows.
That's kind of what I like to do in Vegas too. Buffets and shows. Yeah. Yep. It's just too easy to lose money there.
It is.
And then it's sad. You think about it later and you're like, I could have had that money in my pocket right now.
Mm-hmm.
Just stay on the Bellagio gondola ride that they have.
Mm-hmm.
It's nice,
but it's expensive.
I've never been to Vegas.
Yes.
Okay. I thought for a second, I was like, am I the only one who's never been? Oh, geez.
No. When I went to Vegas, I was 16, so
you really lived it up.
Yeah.
Your dad just found you down
that gondola.
Just
really
like
was an exciting time for you, wasn't it?
I literally lived that life.
gosh, we lost Brad.
Did you find like a sweet honey to take on the gondola ride with you?
So me and my sister actually had a competition of who could collect more. The thing with the strip is that they basically have like trading cards for all the escorts that they have, the hookers.
I like how you sternly look, hookers.
But so yeah, me and my sister just collected those the whole time, and like
that's
we traded
appropriate.
Them.
That's a part that I never heard. Every single episode, we learn something new about you.
I think my sister still has a couple. Oh yeah. So if anybody wants to trade,
hey-o.
I might be able to grab some.
She like photoshopped her face onto their bodies.
And I think we wrote stats on the back of the
stats.
Boobs A+.
Yeah, A+. Oh, she got a B-.
Oh, no.
Did your parents
Don't
know you were
her.
Doing this?
Yeah, my mom definitely knows.
Did your dad?
Jury's out on that. I'm not really sure.
I could totally see your mom being like, Brad, oh, wait, put this on there.
Well,
like,
so he probably doesn't, because when we went there, he was going for a business meeting. So me, my mom, my sister just kind of went and
did your own thing.
Wild and crazy kids.
Oh, man.
Yep. Exciting.
Yeah. You're such
you
a mystery.
Kids? You can still have fun in Vegas, but just make sure you have cool parents.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I really think that they just found you downstairs bloodshot in front of a coin machine, just like, one more game! Because you got, like,
had
you know.
Had a scotch in hand.
Yeah, you went Vegas vacation style and got, like, your own little fake ID so you can gamble.
He's Vincent Adultman in Vegas.
We can have alcohol.
The alcohols. So today we watched season 2 episode 15, Sweetums. It aired February 4th, 2010. The synopsis says Leslie and Ron become adversaries when a dishonest candy company buys for a concession contract while everybody else in the department reluctantly helps Tom move out of his house. What was your first impression? Actually, let's start with, I always forget to do this. What's your relationship with Parks and Rec?
Casual viewer.
Casual viewer. Have you watched all 7 seasons?
I've seen parts of every season.
Okay.
Never all the way through.
Never all the way through. No.
Really?
Consecutively. Yeah.
I've seen most of, like, the season before last. So that's about it. But I got the gist of it.
Yeah.
So,
familiar with the characters.
Yeah, all the Tammys and stuff. And
You should have been on a couple episodes ago for that one.
You just missed her.
Dang it. She'll come back.
She will. She'll come back. Yeah. Well, that's what it is. We'll invite you back if you do a good job this time for our next Tammy episode.
A lot of pressure.
So everybody, all of our listeners, you should vote on whether you want Aaron back or not.
Yeah. Send us an email, podsandrec@gmail.com. Hit us up on Twitter or Instagram. Let us know if you like Aaron or not.
The heat is on.
Oh. Poor Aaron.
Pressure. So you got to impress us.
Okay.
You ready?
Yeah.
Are you ready for this?
Oh.
Do you need a couple push-ups?
Drawing down your pants.
Eat some waffles.
Brad, stop rubbing his shoulders.
Hey, I just got to get him pumped up, man. Pumped up my boy.
Got it, coach.
So what was your first impression of this episode?
It was funny. It was a good one. Like, I like when they go and do the meetings with the community, and you realize how, like, crazy the people are that come into these, like, little community, little forums and stuff.
Yeah.
So,
the townies.
Yeah, the town halls. The townies are freaking crazy.
The town.
Yes.
Yeah. I feel like they get crazier every time you see them. Because this one was definitely a good one.
Yeah.
For the meeting.
Yeah, I think, like, towns aside from Stars Hollow, where everyone's amazing. That's a reference to Gilmore Girls. The only people who show up to town hall meetings are pretty much the crazy ones. So I don't really know if you're going to get, like, I don't know, level-headed people who aren't complete whack jobs. Except for Anne. We found Anne.
Mm-hmm.
Not to say that she's not a whack job sometimes.
That's true. I always forget that the first moment when you see her is in a forum of her complaining about the pit.
Mm-hmm.
But most of the time, there is ongoing, they always complain about sandwiches. Or they brought up they really like mayonnaise in their sandwiches. Yeah. Like, remember there was in a past episode, a woman complained that she found a sandwich in a park and it didn't have mayonnaise on it, and she wanted to know why there was no mayonnaise. And this guy was complaining that we should all go home and eat ham and mayonnaise.
Ham and mayonnaise. And then they all get in an uproar after this, just over the sandwich, which this makes me, it kind of made me want to go to just a town hall. Yeah,
or a forum.
Just to see what actually happens. Like, did anybody else kind of get that? Has anybody, you know, seen what happens in Jacksonville?
I've never been to a forum, but we can definitely do a little bit of a side research there to figure out.
Parks and Rec will get you interested in local government.
The closest I ever got to a forum was student government and having to listen to all the complaints from the students at DA. Whether it was they were mad at the song that we chose for the class song, which everyone voted on, by the way, I may have to say, Douglas Anderson students. It wasn't just your student government. this is me getting back at those crazy kids now.
All those bastards from high school.
I mean, I was pretty dope, you know. I was vice president my junior and senior year. No biggie. Looks good on a college app.
Yeah.
yeah, they were pretty terrible. It was awful. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So some of the other stuff that happened in this episode is that it opens up with Tom showing Justin all the different outfits that he's wearing that he's trying out.
He's this fashion icon from GQ.
Why? Is it just because he's always dressed in suits and looks very nice?
Yeah, I'm sure that's what it is. He's always tailored, you know.
Yeah.
He's got a solid haircut, clean cut, yeah.
Yeah,
you know, Tom, he finds random idols or people to idolize.
Yeah. It's just for what Justin always wears. He's always like well dressed, wearing a suit. He's always ready for business. Tom is showing him the most ridiculous outfits for him to come back as like new Tom right after divorce. That it just, I don't understand. Just for aside from a comedic standpoint, some of the stuff that he's showing him was like, other than your little man crush you got on freaking Justin. It just seems like a weird judge for him to have of just being like, look at me.
He just wants his approval.
Yeah. Or he just wants his attention.
He looks up to him and he's just like, oh, tell me I'm pretty.
Justin seems like an interesting guy, though. So I think that kind of has something to do with it. He wants to be Justin.
I'm telling you, though, it's his eyebrows, man.
It's the eyebrows. They were on point.
The sexy caterpillars.
On fleek. I think I'd go to fleek status.
Yeah. Fleek status. So Tom shows Justin, like, a few different things. He comes out. And he's like, Tommy Timberlake, or he's got a fur coat on, or dragon and serpent canes, or
eagle medallion. Go, go!
Sorry, did I just spit on you?
No.
Okay. It was just that funny.
Man, I need an eagle medallion.
I have an eagle medallion.
What?
If you count an eagle necklace as an eagle medallion.
Tammy Timberlake!
Tammy Timberlake! All I need is, like, those weird, like, sunglasses, scarf, and beret that he had on or whatever. Which is, like, Tommy Timberlake is, like, him being Justin Timberlake from 2002, maybe? You know, he's not even, like, a current Tommy Timberlake.
It kind of looks like suit and tie, Justin Timberlake.
A little bit before that.
Definitely before that. Like a Cry Me a River, Justin Timberlake era or something, you know. Like
JT eras.
Right post Britney Spears era. Speaking of which, I just have to say, I was wondering how this could come up in the podcast, and I just found a great segue. That was my Justin Timberlake segue.
I'm really impressed.
Speaking of Britney Spears, today her song Hit Me Baby One More Time hit number one on the top 100 Billboard charts in 1999.
Holy
little random fact I read. So she got famous today.
That was almost 20 years ago.
Yeah, oh my God.
20 years ago.
No,
I wonder
how many
times she's been hit since then.
Ooh. Oh.
That's awful.
Oh, hey, Brittany.
Oh, gosh. Dad jokes.
Poor Spade. Yeah, he loves those dad jokes. Good job, Brad.
Working on it.
I'm just curious. I mean, you guys never thought about that? Like, what if somebody actually hit her?
Does anyone else always ever notice or love that Tom and Donna always seem to be on the same page? Whether it's like fashion advice or relationship advice or anything. She's always like got his back and right there for him.
Yeah, I do love that their relationship.
Yeah.
Yeah. They kind of leave it out.
I love it. It feeds off each other. Like they're pretty like they're pretty dapper and stylish and like they're all about like, you know, the
similar interests.
You know, treat yourself and all that. They're pretty fancy. They're one and the same. And I like that they give her more roles, like the more screen time.
Yeah.
The more like the season goes on. So she's more than just like Donna. So
cool. Especially in this episode, they kind of, or actually in the episodes that we've had prior as well, they've been slowly adding more and more Donna and giving her the one thing that she's obsessed about, which is her Mercedes Benz.
Yeah.
That she will only put one box in there because it's a pressure, a sensitive
suspension.
So I like that she does have her own little personality and her own like little things that her specific character is obsessed with, that they pay attention to that. Because one thing I would say about Parks and Recreation is that they always pay attention to details, and they always pay attention to everything that's going on like outside of the show as well.
All right, so the gang goes to like the original forum, I guess, right, with the Sweetums people, where they show the video of Sweetums, or it's like a private meeting, right?
Yeah,
like,
it's so that beforehand. They can get, they're trying to get a concessions contract for a park.
Like a sponsor.
Yeah. So they are doing a presentation of what they will be having in their concession in the park.
And so Sweetums shows Ron and Leslie this video of Sweetums. You know, if you can't beat them, Sweetums. But so it's of, you know, the CEO and his family, and it's basically talking about, oh, Sweetums is great, and it's healthy, and it's made from quality ingredients, whatever, whatever. But what Leslie noticed is that the whole family's wearing vests, and that means that they must be healthy. It's like, where do you make that correlation? I don't get it.
So funny.
And then later on when you see them in real life, when they come to the forum, they're wearing vests again.
I think they're wearing the exact same outfits that they were wearing before.
They just got done filming the commercial and then came to the forum.
I was kind of waiting for the dog to have a vest on as
Shoelace. They did mention shoelace.
Is that the dog's name?
Yes.
They said it like a couple of times. And they said, I like that whole video of how ridiculous it is, of how much they're really poking fun at large corporations and their manipulation of just being like, yeah, eat this product. You don't need to know what it has in it. It has corn syrup and other things.
That's why I was kind of surprised that they actually put nutritional facts on their products at all. I would have figured they would somehow find like a legal loophole to leave that stuff out.
Put it on the inside of the wrapper.
And you know, this is a really sensitive subject to me, guys, because I work at a huge candy store.
Working
for the man.
And I actually do, just saying, I create all of our nutritional labels and stuff. So that is not an excuse for anyone who may have seen a mistake on a nutrition label to come and find me and kill me. No, I'm kidding. They should all be correct. But yeah, so I work at a huge candy store, and it's just funny the different things that you learn versus, like, because we manufacture a lot of our products and then we get a lot of stuff from third parties. So it's funny to see when Leslie goes to like the Sweetums event launch party or whatever that they're having for these bars, she's like getting a shit ton of candy from them and putting it in bags to take it home. But it's nothing that they manufacture. Like, it's not Sweetums products. Like, it's candy buttons and candy necklaces and Chupa Chupas and all this stuff. So it's like,
it's a Chupa Chupa.
Where's the shit that y'all make, Sweetums?
Yeah, go back to Chupa Chupas.
Yeah.
Chupa Chupas are like little lollipops, like Dum Dums, but I think they're the Mexican version. What does a chupa mean, resident Mexican?
Sugar cakes?
Never heard of a chupa chupa. The Mexican like candy we always had was, it's like caramel and like goat's milk.
Goat's milk.
Yeah, it's like a little disc.
We'll have to get that at Sweet Pete's Candy.
And then they have like, the other thing we always had is it comes on a plastic spoon. But it's like a chili powder, like sugary little thing. Aaron wouldn't like it because he's in like sweet and spicy stuff. But
you don't like, but it's good. Oh, sweet and spicy. Okay, I get that. Yeah. I got you.
I grew up eating a lot of that.
Not everybody can be great.
Yeah,
sweet and spicy is the best.
Yeah, it is. You're right.
Well, next time we record, I'm going to bring this these lollipops. They're called Hot Licks. I don't know if y'all have ever heard of them before. But they got, there's one with a tequila worm in it. Ooh. One with a scorpion in it.
You are singing my tune right now.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah, my dad got it when we were kids one time to freak us out.
Yeah. Kids love them. I mean, they just buy them. It's so gross to see them eat them. I'm like, oh, I don't want to know what happens when you, like, get them in the middle of it.
You ever see, like, a little kid with an ant, like, sticking out of his food?
Apparently, they're very fibrous for you to eat, so. Ooh,
good to know. I think we got some carpenter ants in the back.
I'll have to eat that
up. A couple ants a day.
I hope we don't have any carpenter ants in the back.
Constant food supply.
Reaching into the wall.
Yeah, I think that the one thing about the nutrition labels that kind of that irritates me, not only with, you know, them doing the Sweetums thing, of how a lot of nutrition labels, like, will say that this only has 8 grams of fat, but you have to, like, look at the serving, and especially putting that on a bar that's supposed to be one serving. Like, I've totally seen that before. Yeah. You ever read a can of, it's like the Bud Light version, it's like the little margarita can. It's really little. It looks like the size of a Red Bull.
Limeritas?
Yeah.
Or strawberitas.
If you ever ever drink that. Yeah.
No. If you ever look at the serving size and like the calories and everything that's in it, it's insane.
Yeah, yeah.
And I know that like a lot of my family, we all go on vacation together every year to the beach, and part of them will bring those and sit there and just down like a case of them. I'm like, your body's gonna die.
And it's like, it's okay because they're like miniature cans. So you're like, I'm not drinking as much as I would if I had a full size beer.
Yeah,
surprise, it's 10 times worse for you.
Why isn't a serving size like defined as one of these things?
Right.
Like, shouldn't that just be like a universal thing?
We're Americans. We want more.
They're like, our children fat. What did Anne call them? Chub monsters?
Chub monsters. She had a few names for
them. Yeah.
Like little chunky chub monsters.
She was super angry.
Yeah.
Calls them like she sees them.
Yeah. So, Sweetums, you're basically terrible.
Yeah. But what did you think of Ron, of him being, of course, like, he's all about, like, freedom to do whatever you want. But I couldn't stop laughing whenever they're at the forum. And the Sweetums do their whole manipulation thing and bring out the people that were actually in their commercial. And they're like, oh, my God, they're really here. And the little kid goes, everybody, look under your seats. And Ron is just, like, furious, like, like trying to, like, look under his seat, like, pulling his chair upside down and everything. Mm-hmm. And he's just, like, sad look on his face because there's nothing under his. But it kind of bums me out, even though it's very much in Ron's character that he is completely against Leslie on this one, because it's all about be who you want to be, and, you know, nobody can tell you what not to consume.
Yeah. Yeah. It's about being free.
Yeah.
And being able to make your own decisions. And then Ron, like, just throughout the episode, I definitely felt like he was kind of a baby, you know, just with how much he was trying to drill that in that he is, you know, American and he's kind of spoiled.
He did go a little overboard, but I do have to say that I agreed with Ron in the Ron versus Leslie segment of this episode. Ron. I agreed with Ron in that if Sweetums wants to, and I'm not saying this, you know, from a candy store perspective, but if Sweetums wants to make what they want, you know, I don't know, they're not lying on their nutritional facts or anything. They're putting it out there for you. The people know who are eating it. If they want to know, they know how unhealthy it is for them. And people, you know, if they don't want to eat it, they don't have to eat it. But, you know, it's a free market and whatever. Businesses create jobs and whatever. Yeah, support Donald Trump. I'm just kidding.
This is another one of those episodes where we, this is the last one. Oh, God. I think on the opposite end of that, though, is a lot of people aren't, and maybe this is a problem with the individual consumer, that they don't pay attention to what they're eating. That's what kind of irritates me about, I try to make sure that we're eating healthy and, you know, doing the right thing and that we're not consuming so much chemicals and stuff. It's the environmentalist in me. But it bothers me how people are not informed about what they're eating. It's all about convenience. That right. I didn't eat breakfast, so I'm going to eat this bar. Yeah. That is horrible for you.
Well, a lot of it's like the propaganda yeah. behind it. Like, what was the name of the bars? Like Nutrium. Yeah. Nutrium. So people yeah. think like associate oh mm-hmm. nutrition and it's mm-hmm. yummy. Like
yeah.
you know.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of that propaganda, and then it's like it's good for you. Don't worry about what's on the back or what's in it. Like just eat it. Just put it in your mouth.
I mean, that's kind of a big overlying theme in the show, though, is that yeah. people just kind of eat up what mm-hmm. some, you know, official person, mm-hmm. which I did that in quotation marks,
yeah.
just in case you can see at home.
Sidebar.
Definitely go along with the theme that, like, the people in Pawnee.
Yeah, even, like, Joan Calamezzo, mm-hmm. like, some of her stories she runs aren't very factual, right. but, like, people just kind of eat it up, mm-hmm. so... I think that adds a little bit of depth to it, just because yeah. you know about all of Pawnee, basically.
Yeah. yeah.
You had to bring Joan into this.
Joan. you sly vixen, you.
yeah, I don't know, that whole debate, you know, of Leslie versus Sweetums, I think it kind of, it hits really pretty close to home to me, because I do try to pay very much attention to things like that, and you know, people don't really know, and they just, even if they read packages, like the biggest fad, especially this past year, was gluten. Everybody's like, I don't want something with gluten on it. And my biggest pet peeve is that people, they'll put like gluten-free or whatever free on it, but they'll put it on stuff that shouldn't have gluten. So people are just reading like, oh yeah, so this is good. Like, my two best examples is popcorn. Popcorn does not have gluten in it because it's not wheat, so why would you have it on there? And then I saw a gluten-free lotion.
Wow.
So,
well, do you think
that you gotta get careful there, because you could have some stuff. Like, we have bath products and stuff that we sell, and, like, it's very, like, there's allergen shit on it, because you use, like, animal byproducts and stuff in baths and stuff.
It's just
creepy.
I feel it's very creepy that you don't know what's in your stuff that you buy.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Anyway, it's rant over. Let's go back to Happy Podcast.
Happy Podcast. DJ Roomba.
DJ Roomba. Finally get to see him.
Gangsta.
Oh. I feel like we should have had that queued up to play that song.
We can add it.
Yeah.
So everybody on, you know, on the other end of the spectrum of the episode, Leslie and Ron are doing the whole Sweetums thing. Then we've got the whole gang, minus Leslie and Ron, helping Tom move out of his house with Wendy, as they are now divorced and Tom needs to go live on his own. One thing that happened that was amazing, and Brad, you're going to agree with me on this one. Andy thinks Deep Blue Sea is the best movie in the entire world.
Definitely agree with you.
We totally agree with that.
And we also discovered that there's a Canadian version of Deep Blue Sea that has, like, they said something like 22 extra minutes.
Yeah.
And it also has a scene where LL Cool J raps all of his lyrics.
Or all his dialogue.
All of his dialogue. And, and I really wish that was a thing.
I tried really hard to find it, and I couldn't find it.
So LL Cool J, I mean, if you want to do some cool online video thing, you should completely just make another scene that has that, put it on YouTube.
Or if we're wrong, please let us know and we'll have you on the podcast. Because we love you. Because we love you. And
we love you.
Brad would love to go on, what is it?
Lip Sync Battle.
Lip Sync Battle.
Oh, yeah. I'll go on Lip Sync Battle.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
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 Move over, Anne Hathaway. New wrecking ball coming to town.
You can even sing a little Dave Matthews.
If I actually got to sing Dave.
Yeah, maybe he'll come out, because that's been like the new thing is that they actually bring out like some of the people that are that they're parodying. Like
Beyonce
was in it.
Yeah. Okay, go ahead. That was
awesome. That was really, really good. Yes. That
was really good.
Did you see him? He was at the makeup.
He looked so
in the wind. It was amazing.
That was awesome.
And you can tell some of his escort skills were coming out.
Yeah.
And didn't his wife do Magic Mike, the dance to Magic Mike?
Yeah. We didn't know that was his wife, and we're watching it, and we're like, oh my God. And then I looked at him and I'm like, oh, they're married.
It does help that they're both professional dancers,
Yeah.
I was like, I feel like we need to leave the room.
Oh, God.
Hello.
Raunchy. Listen, let's get it on.
But nonetheless, we're very excited for the arrival of DJ Roomba.
Yes.
Oh, I strapped an MP3 player to one of those floor cleaning robots. Call him DJ Roomba. Little guy cruises around and plays music. What's hot, DJ Roomba? DJ Roomba, turn it
up! The man, the myth, the robot.
Who needs a DJ when you have a Roomba?
DJ Roomba.
I've wanted to make Brad a DJ Roomba as a surprise gift forever, but it's so expensive.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
Oh. I wanted to do that.
Can we just make us a gift and like we can both go in on it?
Yeah. Havsies.
He's a hit at parties, apparently.
Yeah.
What? Turn it up! Maybe we'll have a Parks and Rec party and that's when we finally get. I'm going to be like, we did it! We finally got one! So everybody's going to do a Parks and Rec.
That'd be awesome. So, what happened to DJ Roomba after the unveiling, though? What happened to
the end of the fall of DJ Roomba?
Yeah.
So after the there's the fall of DJ Roomba, where
it was a
Jerry.
I mean, first of all, the man was upset about his pizza. Okay, yeah. No one even told him it was there.
Poor fucking Jerry, man. You know,
I didn't even know Jerry was there moving with him until
that's
that
what
point.
I don't think he was. He there earlier?
Do you think that they purposely not film him in some places because of he's Jerry?
Yeah.
So it would be hard because they have to like make a joke every single time. Mm-hmm.
And plus, you got to think though too. Like, I just thought it was weird that he was helping Tom move. Tom, who's like the biggest bully to him.
But
like,
Jerry's a nice office. Guy. There's a real
Jerry's
nice guy.
Jerry's just a stand-up guy, and people don't know.
Yeah.
And an artist.
And an artist.
He's many things. So Jerry ends up stepping on DJ Roomba, and then Tom gets back at him.
Jerry, this is the ghost of DJ Roomba. Why did you kill me? I'm gonna haunt you, Jerry. I'm gonna follow you and play the Black Eyed Peas on a nonstop loop. Let's go to the moon.
That really is like the most terrible punishment that one would have to be subjected to is Black Eyed Peas on a loop.
That is purgatory.
But I like that he also he puts a lot of thought into the whole haunting of Jerry because he puts the little. He cuts out little eye holes and puts, like, a little goat, like, a sheet over DJ Roomba so it chases them around. And then he added, which I'm pretty positive, is, like, the Shining music as he's going, Jerry. I think it's the moment where the little kid's on the tricycle and he's, like, turning the corner and he sees the twins. Mm-mm. It's, like, that kind of suspenseful music. Like, from, that's what it reminds me of.
Nope. But, right away.
Was that the same scene with the blood elevator? Like, is that when that actually happened?
I'm not quite sure. I've seen that movie a lot, but there's moments where I'm just like, like cover my eyes and creeped out. It's
agreed.
A long sequence of terrifying events, especially like the bathtub scene's kind of creepy.
Oh.
That part gets me the most.
I think it's weird just finding out that recently on a cruise boat, there was a, like, somebody had that and that happened to them where... somebody was getting on an elevator and then...
That's for
I guess
Straight Chillin' Podcast, not this
technician.
One.
Technician. That was a boat that got crushed and blood just ran down the elevator.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, that's pretty dark when we're trying to talk about the ghost of DJ Roomba.
Rest in peace, DJ.
Yeah, but from start to finish, I feel like this episode is great. I think it's 100% solid.
Oh yeah, phenomenal.
Yeah, it's a good episode and it's classic Tom. Everyone's helping him move and he's just standing there ordering pad thai and shopping online instead while they all carry boxes. But it is funny how it was a smart move on Tom's part. How he told Andy, he's like, Mark just grabbed 3 boxes and Andy's like, well, I'm going to grab 5.
Yeah.
Because it helps him move quicker.
Yeah. And Andy was so excited to actually move. Like,
I know.
He loved it.
He was.
He's so pumped.
He's like, I'm so good at it. Where did that come
He's
from?
Such a Mr. Peanut Butter. He's like always excited to do everything.
Just like DJ Roomba, he like treated it as like a little pet. He's like, oh, the little guy likes me.
Andy got April to help too, you know, in this. Because he showed up. And actually, I noticed something. Like, you can definitely tell that April is super into Andy at this point. Just because there's even a scene where it kind of zooms in on her face while she's looking in a mirror. Mm-hmm. And she's trying to pick through her teeth to make sure she doesn't have anything on it for him.
I was actually wondering why she was staring in the mirror. That's a good observation.
Yeah, she was cleaning her teeth.
Even though we watched that scene twice, how she like turned back and looked at the camera, which she does a lot.
Yeah.
Every time they notice her, you know, kind of getting a little glimpse of Andy.
Yeah.
So that's I was wondering why. I was going to ask you.
Yeah.
Out of it.
And also why she even volunteered to do it anyway.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, because I think Tom was just like, really? Really? You want to go do it? All right.
Well, he said that he asked her already, too, and she made fun of him. And then later on
when she's with Andy,
she was like, I want to do it. So
I think that's really, really sweet that your grandparents still make love.
Because she would rather watch a sex tape of her grandparents.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
Which is pretty ridiculous. Like, out of all the excuses, you can just say you're going to go wash your hair.
Yeah.
But that's very April.
No, my pocket squares.
I think it's hard. I was going back and forth of, like, my opinion on Tom in this one because of he manipulates everybody to help him.
Mm-hmm.
The whole time he's not carrying anything. He has a clipboard. He's like ordering a single serving of food and expecting everybody to do everything for him. But at the same time, I know he's still heartbroken over Wendy and his situation in general. So I'm just like, I don't know whether to be mad at you or to just be like, I'm sorry, buddy. And so I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know how y'all feel about that.
And resident wet blanket Ron, or sorry, Mark Brandanowicz was, I like how he mentioned that he has his truck, but he hates that just because everybody makes him help them move.
Yeah.
Like, and he was just kind of like that throughout. I was like, why not just say no?
Yeah. He was kind of dull.
Because he's Mark and he's stupid.
He didn't want to watch Deep Blue Sea.
Yeah.
He's a very dull character.
That's what a terrible... That's our...
horrible person.
That's the final straw, Mark. Deep Blue Sea hater.
You did it.
Yeah.
I'm liking
it. Yeah. He is very much a wet blanket. Mm-hmm. But I can't... Even though he said that, like, he still helps them anyway. And they still go through the whole process of getting the entire truck packed up. And then being like, oh, well, what did he say? There's a gas leak at his apartment or something. And mm-hmm. so they had to unpack it all. Mm. Which, I didn't leave them with all of his stuff was in the back in the house, right?
No, it was in City Hall office.
Yeah, well, that's the way it was in the end. But whenever...
That's where they dropped it off.
Is that where they dropped it off?
They hand him, like, that final box and it, like, zooms out and they're in the office. Yeah.
I think I was looking down and that happened, so I was trying to remember exactly where they left it.
And then it goes back to Leslie in the office, like, the next day and all of his stuff is still there.
It's right everywhere. Yeah.
I didn't notice that. That's awesome.
Yeah. Uh-huh. It's, like, once Ron and Leslie are finally, like, making, you know, being friends again after this whole battle back and forth.
Yeah.
There's, like, a lamp and stuff behind him, a bunch of stack of boxes. Yeah. So I saw that, but I was just like, I don't remember them putting it in there in the first place, but I just didn't see it. My bad. So another one of the things that we actually didn't discuss was that the very beginning with Ron, Leslie said that he drank way too much to be able to drive. So she shows him the chart and is going over, like, that he had to wait, like, an hour or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
I know that we discussed that he was being a big baby about it, but... throughout the entire thing of him with the steak and everything, it's kind of nice that even though whenever Ron goes through those fit moments, whenever he's like, I'm right, I'm always right, that he does make up to it, to her in the end.
Yeah.
But he always realizes, like, what he did wrong.
Yeah.
So it's a nice full circle there.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like their relationship. It's more than just, like, a boss, like, you know, lower level employee. Like, they're actually really friends. Even though, like, he's kind of crazy and she's kind of crazy in her ways, they kind of, come full circle. And then they're just like, you know, you're right, I was wrong, you know, and they move on. So, yeah. Especially with the end, when they're at that Valentine's Day for the older people.
Not yet.
Oh, excuse me. And a little foreshadowing for the next episode.
Beep, bop, bop. Okay.
I mean, if you think about it, we did just talk about... grandmothers and grandfathers having sex.
That's
so
true.
Well, I kind of liked how they started off with Leslie versus Sweetums and slowly kind of transitioned to her versus Ron. Just because You know, he's so independent, and mm-hmm. he doesn't want people to tell him what to do. And I felt like that was kind of a good correlation.
Yeah. So Ron's a lot like Sweetums.
Very much so.
Yeah. That he's just doing that man, what he does.
He will drink freedom. Six glasses freedom. Of whiskey, and then he will make a harp.
Make a harp, yeah, too.
It's a pretty nice harp, but I'm really glad that he said, because I remember this episode of how he said that I built this. He said, I finished it. Because I was thinking, you know, I have some knowledge in woodworking, because I did do some of that in college. I was thinking, like, oh, no, there's no fucking way that you can make that over one night, especially drinking that much. So, and it's, like, pristine.
But he's Ron fucking Swanson.
I know. Or even he's Nick fucking Offerman, who probably really made that harp in real life.
Yeah.
Probably. So, I mean, that's not, we don't know if that's a fact, but I would almost promise you that that's probably.
It was an amazing harp, too. Like, it looked very, very nice.
Mm-hmm. Sound quality was fantastic.
And I wonder if the pictures that he took was his actual shop.
Could be.
Nick Offerman's shop.
Could be, yeah.
Pretty handy. Mm-hmm.
That'd be really cool if they did that, actually.
This episode kind of...
this
episode kind of sets up a little more of April's fight with Ben and Derek to come, like her kind of like separation from them two. You kind of get a little glimpse into it. They, you know, they're not a big fan of Andy. They say he's the kind of person that they used to always make fun of, kind of thing. And April's, she's not really having it. You kind of see she's more inclined to enjoy her time with Andy and get kind of annoyed with Ben and Derek lately. She's growing up.
Aww, little girl.
Crying.
I'm okay with that, though.
Yeah. Speaking of wet blankets, never really cared for Derek and Ben. I think it's a funny anecdote for them to be like a little triangle.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But they never support or like anything that she likes. They're always like giving her a hard time. Mm-hmm. They want to watch her move so that they can laugh at her.
Right.
Yeah.
So no wonder why she's kind of this like dark being, you know?
Yeah.
So
I'm interested to meet her future friends. Just saying.
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm. I forgot his name, but I'm excited for him.
Oh God.
Mm-hmm. He dresses in all black.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
You know who I'm talking about.
I know who you're talking about.
Oh. Stay tuned, listeners.
For another episode.
So, Aaron, do you have an idea of who you would say your MVP for this episode would be?
I guess it would be Tom. Tom's my boy. I always love Tom.
Yeah, this is because we said that you were very Tom-like at the beginning. You got to stick up for him.
Is it just
because
you like Tom, or you think he actually like did something in this episode to warrant MVP?
It's Tom being Tom.
Tom being Tom.
Right. You know, that's exceptional. Yeah. So
that's all we need.
Yeah. This was a tough one for me. I didn't really know exactly who stood out per se, but after thinking about it, I think I would go with Anne on this, just because. She's the one who came in and actually read the wrapper for the Sweetums Nutriums and was like, yeah, this is terrible. Why is everybody doing this?
Yeah.
And about that time is when we find them raving in out from their sugar rush that they were in. So I was like, that was, she did the most good.
I forgot about
eyes.
The rave.
I gotta tell you, I love drinking a Red Bull and like eating some candy on crazy days at work. I have to say, it's amazing. You just keep it going until you're off so that you don't crash.
There's two guys that I work with that are constantly drinking coffee and like Monsters. And I love watching them of like super energetic, like, yeah, we're gonna go do all this work and blah, blah, blah. And then like by like 11 o'clock, they're just sitting there like, is it time to go yet? I'm like, you got 6 more hours, buddy. Anyways, what's your MVP?
My MVP is Jerry. I had a really difficult time deciding on an MVP as well. I kept going back and forth. I would choose someone, and then, you know, I'd think of something to kind of, like, diminish their quality for me for MVP. But I'm going to go with Jerry because, you know, I mean...
The guy didn't get any pizza.
He didn't mean to ruin DJ Roomba. He didn't get any pizza. And he still continues to work at the Parks and Rec Department after having to listen to the Black Eyed Peas on loop forever. Like, I would have just been like, nope, I quit. I never want to see you fuckers again. See you later.
Good guy, Jerry. So,
good guy, Jerry.
How long do you think the ghost of DJ Roomba followed Jerry around?
I hope, like, a week all or day. Something. Yeah. Or just, yeah.
Non-stop. He's in the bathroom. Black Eyed Peas.
Where's the love, man?
Do you think Tom bought another Roomba or had his repaired? Because wasn't he on the phone with a repair guy?
He probably bought another one.
Or something about
it. Yeah, he wants to buy another one.
Yeah, he's not a fixer-upper. He buys new ones.
Parks and Rec employees must make a lot of money. I know.
For the government.
Expensive.
So, well, who's your MVP?
My MVP is, it's not a main character. But you gotta get up for the little guy. I'm going with DJ Roomba in this one. Because if you think about it, like he comes in and he's all excited, getting everybody all pumped, and everybody likes him, Andy likes him, and everything, and he's, you know, helping them get their move on.
You're giving him anthropomorphic features of this happening.
And then he's just, you know, he's doing his thing. They're all about to eat pizza. And then fucking Jerry just comes up and trips over him and kills him.
No respect for him.
And, I mean, he brought everybody together. Yeah. Andy loved him. He got him to sing some Dave Matthews, man. Oh. And everything. Yeah. So I just...
Yes, baby.
Can I change my vote? I would go with DJ Roomba.
God damn it, Brad.
I have to.
No, you made your...
She's your wife, not your dictator.
He played Dave Matthews, damn it.
I think, are you going to change yours or are you going
to
stick with it?
I'm changing my vote. I mean, Anne was just a scapegoat for me. I didn't have anything else to turn to. But yeah, DJ Roomba. DJ Roomba is by far my favorite thing in the whole show. It's just the concept of him. I loved it.
Yes.
Yeah, I remember the first time we were introduced to DJ Roomba. It was a magical day. I think we watched that episode and then rewatched it because it was so funny.
So by default, DJ Roomba wins.
I don't know. I don't
know. Two votes. He's got it.
I'm sorry, guys.
You've made your decision. It's happening. Don't back
out. I'm not backing out. I'm sticking with my decision. That whole speech repaired as soon as you said Jerry, and I was like, fucking Jerry, man. DJ Roomba.
I love Jerry. I'll be your gal.
I'm just kidding.
Oh no.
Yay! Hey,
all right, Aaron, what do you rate this episode?
With your three beautiful daughters.
It's out of five.
I'll probably give it, four sweetums out of five.
This episode's brought to you by Sweetums. When you think of Pawnee, you think of Sweetums. Sweetums manufactures candies from the finest ingredients like corn, sugar, and other stuff. Each piece is handcrafted with your sweet tooth in mind. Don't live your life in the safe zone. You could die tomorrow. Why not have it be from a sugar rush? Sweetums. If you can't beat them, Sweetums.
Brad?
So this is a really, really good episode in my eyes. I have to give it 4.5 candy nails.
Oh, gross. Do you think Donna just like puts on it?
Yes, I do. Are they like sweet tarts or like maybe chocolate maybe? Fruit roll ups or
bugles? Chocolate covered bugles.
There it is. I got them to there and eat them. Just type in.
Steph, what'd you rate it? I really love this episode a lot. This is one of my all time favorite episodes, so I'm going for it and giving it a 5 out of 5.
She's just giving these away like money.
You get a 5 and you get a 5. Everybody look under your chair. She Oprah. I'm giving this a 5 out of 5 bowls of wild turkey over cornflakes.
That's good. I like that. I am giving this episode a 4.3 out of 5. DJ Roombas.
Nice.
Some other great options for ratings could have been 5 out of 5 fur coats, 5 out of 5 dragon and serpent canes, 5 out of 5 deep blue seas, 5 out of 5 pocket squares,
5 out of 5 ham and mayonnaise sandwiches,
five out of five vests.
5 out of 5 cacao.
That's why this is such a good episode. There's so many things.
5 out of 5 eulogies for Ron.
That's creepy that she's already written it.
Ron's song. Captain, my captain.
Okay, Dead Poets Society. Leslie like, bring it back.
You think Ron's ever seen that movie? I wouldn't peg him as a Dead Poets Society guy.
Oh, I don't know. It's very, like, good old boy.
We missed one big throwback to a previous episode.
What is?
Punk-ass book jockeys.
Punk-ass book jockeys.
Yeah, the library.
Yeah, her feud with the library.
Have they started teaching the Parks and Rec department how to read yet? Why are the librarians such bitches? Yeah. I want to know, like, the origin of the feud between the library and the Parks department.
Especially because Leslie was talking about stealing those movies.
Yeah. Yes, and she did. Yeah. She ended up stealing.
Ran out.
She did. She tipped over a book card on the way out, too, trying to stop them. I'm surprised that Tammy didn't run out of the back office, though, and pursue her.
They didn't bring her back for a little baby cameo.
Yeah.
So I do want to open up the Parks and Research real quick, because I did forget to mention it. Just a few little things. Andy sings Little Baby referencing Dave Matthews Band from the song So Much to Say. I found a Google Talk from September 2012, with the cast of Parks and Rec, and Chris Pratt said that he wanted Dave Matthews to guest star on the show so that Andy can meet him and cry. He also suggested other 90s-inspired Mouse Rat shows, other 90s-inspired that he got for Mouse Rat would be Darius Rucker's and Eddie Vedder.
That man is singing my tune right now.
I know. He's
Chris Pratt, you should definitely come on our podcast.
Man crush Monday over here.
I totally. we would hit it off so well, though.
Some of the other things that I noticed is that Leslie refers to Tom as Encyclopedia Brown. Does anybody know who that is?
Yeah, that detective. Yeah.
Okay. I didn't know who it was, but I did find that there was an HBO series in 89 that ran for only 10 episodes. But I was like, thought that was kind of interesting. And then finally, this episode was written by Alan Yang, which he previously wrote the Boys Club episode in Sister City along with many of the future episodes. What was interesting about Alan is that he also is the writer and co-writer with Aziz Ansari for Master of None, which I thought was really interesting because this is a really good episode and it kind of has the same tone of, like, comedy-wise of what they use for Master of None. He also, which you can see in the next episode, he plays the bass player of Mouse Rat.
He
doesn't have a name. He's just written as bass player. He does come back as a future reoccurring character named Chang.
Oh,
Chang. So. And they're also really good friends in real life, as you can tell by their Instagrams. that I suck.
So, just wanted to throw that out there. Well, that's going to wrap it up for episode 11, part 1. Tune in later on in the week where we'll be posting part 2. You can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Pods and Rec. That's PODSANDREC. You can also email us at podsandrec@gmail.com. We hope you have a great rest of your day. Bye.